This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, where we left off last time. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're on the air with a live radio, not radio, but SoundCloud and True Social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America. And then I invite everyone to come up one by one, and I pray for you individually, according as the Holy Spirit leads, according to His gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Excuse me. That's every Wednesday at 6 p.m. You're also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, and True Social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. Excuse me. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Amazing Grace Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Now, we've learned the book of Hebrews is God's school to His church. We're being trained to reign. He takes us from kindergarten to a master's degree so that when He comes at the seventh trump, after the sixth trump, the Antichrist comes at the sixth trump, Jesus comes at the seventh trump, we're going to be that perfect bride without spot and without blemish. Therefore, from God's heart, to my heart, to your heart, a play called The Faith Story. A play called The Faith Story, parentheses, written, produced, and directed by God. The author is God the Father. The producer is the Lord Jesus Christ. The director is the Holy Spirit. A play called The Faith Story. Hebrews 11 is often called the Hall of Faith because faith is very important to God. He says, without faith it's impossible to please Him, and the just shall live by faith. And we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, all of you, all over the world, we're in the theater. The curtain is down. No popcorn, because this is not a movie, this is a classical play. Okay, the curtain is down. But the director has given you a program. The director is the Holy Spirit. Your program is your Bible. And He wrote something there that He wants you to know, okay? He wants you to enjoy the show about faith, the faith story, so He's going to tell you what faith is. So read your program.
Verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Now, the word substance there means a title deed, and evidence means material. You have a title deed to your property if you own property, okay? But you had to do something to get the title deed, okay? Your title deed is that program in your lap for this play. It is your Bible. And everything in that Bible can materialize in your life. Evidence means material. If you will do the ifs, okay? Everything's in there that you need. For instance, 3 John, the 3rd epistle of John, chapter 2. God wants you to be in health, to prosper, and your soul prosper. That is available to you. It will materialize, but you have to believe. You have to have faith. In other words, faith. You've got to believe that. God says, believe my word, believe my prophets. Now, the curtain's almost going up, but just before, in your program there, you'll see there's a cast of characters. He always tells you who they are in the play. So let's see what it says about the cast of characters in your program.
Verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report.
That's the cast of characters. Now the curtain's about to go up, and the cast of characters are waiting in the wings. They're clearing their throat. They're breathing from their diaphragm. They're doing vocal exercises because they want to do a good job.
Verse 3.
The curtain is going up. Look at the stage. Wow, there's nothing on the stage. It's empty. Never fear. The author, the producer, and the director are very near. Ah, I hear something. That's good. Sound creates. Sound produces movement. What do we hear? Let there be.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
God spoke, and it was so. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, the director wrote something in your program there. The word worlds is plural. He wants you to know that is from Greek eon, which means age. It doesn't mean there are a lot of worlds or earths. It just means that there are a lot of ages. So everybody understand that world means age, okay? And he brought it into being by spoken word. Now, it's beginning to move a little bit there on stage. It's become a little bit visible there.
So that things which are seen were not made of things that do appear.
Oh, look at the stage there. There's heaven and there's the earth. But wait just a minute. It came, it disappeared. It came, it disappeared. And it came. What in the world is all that about? Well, this play has three acts. Most plays have three acts, okay? And can have only one act at a time. Now, reading your program there, and you'll find in 2 Peter 3:6 and 7, it says, the world that then was, remember your director told you world means age, the age that then was, the first earth age, the world that now is, the age that now is, the second earth age, the one we're in, and the third world age, the third earth age, yet to be. Now you can only have one act in a play at the same time. So look at the stage there. So we're going to have act one, the first earth age. Look, I see you. There you are, first earth age, act one. Look at you. But you're not in a flesh body. You're a spirit body. Your program will tell you, Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7, read your program, and it'll say, when the silver cord breaks, your spirit returns to God who gave it. You are all there in the first earth age in the spirit body. Look at you. You're not sick. You're not old. You're so happy. And all of you are worshiping God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now this is act one, scene one. Still scene one, look, there's a beautiful celestial being guarding the mercy seat. We find out his name is Lucifer. He is so good for a long period of time. He's absolutely gorgeous, and he's very wise. He's wiser than Daniel. His body makes music. He plays a tabret, he plays the drum, and he's anointed cherub, and he guards the mercy seat. Act one, scene one, the curtain goes down briefly, the curtain goes back up. Act one, first earth age, scene two. Uh-oh, look in your program, Isaiah 14. Lucifer says, I will be God. He exalts himself above God. Pride comes in his heart, and he overthrows God's kingdom. Act one, first earth age, still scene two. Look a veil. Look at your program, Revelation 12. Lucifer is also called the dragon. All of you there are called angels, children of God, minus the flesh, not flap, flap wings. Look, some of you are going after Lucifer, after the dragon. You're going to call him God instead of God. Oh, that's sin. That's the first sin. That's high treason in heaven. Wait, wait, wait. There are some of you, one-third on the stage, that do not betray God. You fight for God. Wait a minute. There's a third missing. because 3/3 makes a whole. Oh, we'll have to go to Act 2, the Second Earth Age. And you over there, Revelation 2, you're the lukewarmers. You're worst of all. You make God sick to his stomach. He wants to spew you out of his mouth. You just watch the show. You didn't go for Satan, the dragon, that old serpent, and you didn't go for God. By the way, notice on your program there, Revelation 12, one of the dragon's name is Dragon, Serpent. He's not a dragon. He's not a snake. Just play out the name Satan and the devil, okay? Now, this is a conundrum. Because now sin has entered. Oh my. Act 1, First Earth Age, the curtain goes down on scene 2. The curtain goes back up, scene 3, Act 1, First Earth Age. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit get in a huddle. This is high treason in heaven. And God has a law. The wages of sin is death. He loves his children. He knows they've been deceived. He doesn't want to kill them. And then the producer, the Son of God, Jesus steps up and says, Father, I will be the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Foundation is countable Greek, Satan's overthrow. I will pay their sin debt. So God the Father says, okay, so we got to do something about that. So then the same scene there, Act 1, he has a little judgment there. Romans 8, 31, 32, etc. And everybody's guilty. The lukewarmers and the one who betrayed him, that means that is 2/3 of all of you, but 1/3 was not guilty. So this is the third scene. God says, here's what we'll do. Let us make you man. Let us make man. Let us make all of you a flesh body. And let's do away with the first earth age. That's why Act 1 was disappearing there. The first earth age is gone. I'll bring you the second earth age, Act 2. Everybody's going to have a flesh body, and the memory's going to be taken from you, whether you betrayed me, whether you were lukewarm, or whether you actually fought for me. Now, those of you who fought for me, God says, you're predestined. I need to send you out in every generation to tell the truth so they'll hear the truth. And my son, Jesus, will take a body too. And since the wages of sin is death, he will pay your sin debt. So, curtain comes down, Act 1, the first earth age is gone. Act 2, the curtain goes up, the second earth age, humankind.
Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh.
So the curtain's going up. It's Act 2, Scene 1. Ooh, look at the stage, everybody. Look at the people there. Wow, are they beautiful. Red, yellow, brown, black, white. And behind the scenes, I hear God say, it's very good. I see that. That's Genesis 1, verse 26. When God said, let us make man, that word man, Adam, doesn't mean a specific man, Adam. It means mankind in general, all the races, red, yellow, brown, black, and white. Look in your program, Genesis 1, the last verse, God says it's very good. Now, they're kind of in the background there. This is still Acts 2, the second earth age. And we find, look, there's a garden. There's a beautiful garden of Eden. Oh, look, there's a special man. He's not those others. This man is the one God would choose with the right pedigree through whom he would send his son Jesus to pay the sin debt. He's called Eth Ha'adam, the man Adam, a special man Adam. But he needs a woman. And so God takes from his curve, the rib means curve, curvy Eve, and there is a woman. They are very innocent. She's never been a woman before, so she doesn't know what to do. He's never been a man before. He doesn't know what to do. Remember, we're all as the angels, as neither male nor female, was as the angels of God. And they find themselves in a garden. Oh, look, there's some trees. The Hebrew word in your program there will say etz, E-T-S. It means those are real trees. Yes, you may eat the bananas. But there are two trees in the garden. Adam and Eve, see that? And he says, they're not trees. It's a parable, a metaphor, an allegory. One is a tree of life. This is Jesus. The other is a tree of knowledge of good and evil. They are not trees. Now, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, if you're reading your program in the Hebrew, is autosh, A-U-T-O-S-H. It means this tree has a backbone, a spine, a central nervous system, and means in Hebrew, to make firm, as a man makes firm with a woman when he gets her pregnant. The tree of knowledge of good and evil speaks like a serpent. He's not a snake, but he is none other than Lucifer right there. And you remember in Act 1, Revelation 12, one of the serpent's name is serpent, not a snake, just a metaphor, dragon, Satan, devil. So there he is right there on the spot. Now, back to the man and woman. They have never been together. They've never been a man. They've never been a woman. They don't know anything about sex. My goodness gracious. And so the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that old devil, not a serpent, he looks at Eve. They have not been together yet. And he says to her, hey, psst, Eve, did God say you could not eat of all the trees? She said, God said we cannot touch the tree in the middle there. We cannot touch you, tree, knowledge of good and evil. If we touch you, we shall die. Your director wrote in your program there, in the Hebrew, touch is naga, to lie in a sex act. We cannot have sex with you, although she doesn't know what sex is, neither does Adam. They have not been together yet. And so, to thwart Jesus from coming, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, low down like a serpent, said, you shall not surely die. You shall be as gods. You'll know good from evil. So, the woman has never been a woman before, but now her woman parts are taking over. Whew, you're good to look at. Oh, you're desirable. Getting a groove on there. Adam's kind of standing there stunned because he doesn't know anything about sex. They never did this before. They were angels. So the woman and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, naga. And he gets her pregnant with Cain, the devil's child. So Adam watches there and he says, oh, that's what you do. Immediately, within seconds, he does the same thing to Eve, and she gets pregnant again with twins. His name is Abel. And Abel would be the one God chose to whom, through whom Jesus would come. But now she's got twins. But she finally gives birth, both of them at the same time. She bears one, and it says she continued in birth. That means here's one, oh, here comes another. And she's got Cain, the child of the devil, and she's got Abel. Now you say, how could that be? They are not identical twins. They're fraternal twins. There are records of this. This means that there is sexual intercourse within a very short time between two different men. It can happen. It's documented. Okay. Cain and Abel grow up. They're the age of responsibility. They're going to give their lives to God. So they got to bring an offering. So Abel gives the first fruit. That means one-tenth. The one-tenth belongs to God. He does it right. Remember, he's the one through whom Jesus would come. And he brings the first fruit of his flock. He brings a lamb, a blood sacrifice. Because through that lineage, if he would live, would come the Lamb of God. But Cain, the devil's child, picks up something out of the ground. God does not accept it. Cain's descendants are the Kenites. They cannot grow anything. They can own the farm like China does, but they cannot grow it because their daddy is the devil. So God accepted Abel's sacrifice. It was a tenth, the first thing he had, and it was a blood sacrifice, a lamb. But Cain got mad at Abel and killed him. Lord have mercy. Looks like God's plan is thwarted. Look on the stage there. This is a conundrum. But Adam knows what to do now. The man Adam, Eth-Hadam, he goes into Eve again. And they have the right prenogy, the right child, Seth. So all is well that ends well. Look at that. So this is Act 2, Scene 1. The curtain goes down, the curtain goes back up. Act 2, Second Earth Age, Scene 2.
Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God.
Enoch's name means disciplined and dedicated. He pleased God, so he did not have to die. God took him. Now we'll find out why he pleased God in a moment. Look at the stage. There is Enoch. Enoch was alive during the time of Genesis 6, the fallen angels. They're called Nephilim. When Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again, you must be born from above. That's the first step to be saved. Every one of us, we're in spirit, we have to come through this earth, through a woman's womb, with a memory forgotten, and then we get a chance to accept Jesus or the devil. These fallen angels, sent by the tree of knowledge of good and evil, came in. They are angels. They can make firm or tush, and they refused to be born of women. But they saw the beautiful daughters of Eth Haddam, and directed by their daddy, the devil, they decided that they would impregnate these women so it would not be a pure seed. Some of the women got pregnant, and they bore what is called in the Hebrew Geber. You'll notice on your program, it's called giants, giants, giants. Now, these giants were messing up God's plan. These Geber, these giants, knew everybody from Act 1, the first earth age. And they could say, hey, Susie, you betrayed God. Boy, you're in trouble. Hey, Johnny there, you did not betray him. Messing up God's plan. So Enoch was preaching against these ungodly people. You can read about Enoch in the book of Jude. You ungodly people doing your ungodly deeds. And he was going up and down just preaching against them. And God took him. Why did God take him? Now, we see some lettering come on the stage to tell you why God was pleased with Enoch.
Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Obviously, he had faith. Without faith, impossible to please him. Why should you please God? Because Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says, God created everything and everyone, and he created everything and everyone to please him. See, you thought, God, please me. Give me a new car. Give me a boyfriend. Give me a job. Give me some money. You created to please him, and faith pleases him. So Enoch had faith.
For he that cometh to God must believe that he is.
In other words, you've got to believe that he exists.
And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
King David told his son Solomon, son, if you will seek the Lord with all your heart, you'll find him. If you will seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues with all your heart, you will find him. And Abraham said, the Lord is my exceeding great reward. Okay, we're in Acts 2. The curtain goes down on scene 2. Acts 2, Second Earth Age, scene 3.
Verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet.
What caused Noah's flood, you can read about this in Genesis 7, was those fallen angels, those Geber. God says, I'm going to wipe them out because they're messing up my plan. It had never rained on the earth. God had a beautiful watering system. Underground, he would have the dew come up, it would water everything. They had lakes, so everything was perfect. So it had never flooded. God said, Noah, I am going to drown all of these Geber and all of these evil people with their ungodly deeds, but not you, Noah.
Moved with fear.
He was absolutely in awe of God. He revered God.
Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
The only people left then who had not mixed with the fallen angels, so God could send his own son Jesus through, was Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. They're called the eight Adamic races. He built an ark, and the floods came. Now, God said, take two of every flesh. So he took two of every animal, every bird, every beast. But what is every flesh? Two of red, yellow, brown, black, and white. Aren't they flesh? Mm-hmm. See, most people overlook that. He says two of every flesh. They were there. That's how the races were preserved. See, that's it. But what about Cain's descendants? Cain's descendants are alive right now, the children of the devil. They're destroying the world right now. Two of Cain's flesh. Look at that. They went on there. Now the flood came, and all the evil people were taken away. They knew not till the flood came and took them all away. They were taken. The ones who stayed were saved. Okay, Acts 2. Let's see. That was scene 3. Curtain goes down quickly. Acts 3, curtain goes up. Acts 2, Second Earth Age, scene 4.
Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went.
Abraham's name was at first Abram, and was married to Sarai. God changed her name to Sarah, and his name to Abraham, which means the father of many nations. They were old and had no children past childbearing age. They lived with his family, his father, and all of those in a land called Ur of the Chaldees. It's today's modern Iraq. God said, Abraham, I want you to pack up your wife and your stuff, get a wagon there, and I'm going to take you somewhere. I'm not telling you where it is. You don't need anything. Just follow me. I'll take you to it. And you're going to be the father of many nations. I'm going to give you a son, Isaac. And Isaac's sons, all nations of earth will bless. Because through that lineage will come my son, Jesus. This was the right pedigree. So, Abraham obeyed God. He's a father of many nations. Because whether you're the seed of Abraham or whether you're grafted in, he's kind of like your spiritual father. Abraham obeyed. He packed up his wagon and Sarah, and away they went. Now, let me ask you, that takes faith. If God told you right now to close your business, pack up your bag, put it in a U-Haul, get in your car, drive out of the interstate, you don't know where you're going, you don't have any supply, you don't know what to do, would you do it? I did. God told me to start a school. I had $45. I jumped out of bed and did it. Not one person in this world said, way to go, Sherry. Everybody said no. No family, no friends encouraged me. And bit by bit, I got it done. Thank God. God led me every step of the way. It's been hard. But you know why? If I had not obeyed, I would not be alive here teaching the whole wide world the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Why don't you obey him? He's telling you, get with it and do it, and God will bless you. Okay. So he packs up and goes. He doesn't know where he's going. Boy, is that faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Every one of you's got a calling. Most of you are not in it because you're still waiting for the money, for the money, for the money.
Verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise.
Okay, it was the promised land. He called it Canaan land. It's what we call the land of Israel. The promised land, the promised Messiah, the promised Savior, Bethlehem. Later on, a virgin would have a baby. Jesus would be born there, the promised land. All because Abraham obeyed.
As in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise.
He finally had a son, Isaac. And Isaac had a son named Jacob, also had Esau. Jacob had 12 sons, the 12 patriarchs. They knew that the Messiah was coming through their lineage. You can read about them all through Genesis there. And one day, one of the sons' name was Judah, and one of the sons' name was Levi. And many years later, one day, the Virgin Mary had baby Jesus. Her father, Eli, is a tribe of Judah, the king line. Her mother is a tribe of Levi, the priest line. Look at that. All because one man obeyed. He didn't have the money. He didn't have anything. He just lived by faith. The just shall live by faith.
Verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
He didn't care about the land. He was the friend of God. He loved God. In the Gospels, Jesus asked Peter, Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ in Greek, Christos, the anointed one, the Messiah. Jesus said, On this rock, on your confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. Now, the Bible says the church is the many-membered body of Christ, a building fitly joined together, a living organism all over the world. You are the building of God, the church. You're a building not made by hand. And Jesus said, you building church not made by hand, every one of you all over the world. You're a city set on a hill. You cannot be hid. So right now, all over this world, the world is gone mad. They don't know what to do. But church all over the world, this is our finest hour. Let us stand up. We have the answer.
Amen.
Let us lift up the name of Jesus, the cross of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of Jesus. Triumphant church. Get up, church. Get up, church.
Amen.
A building not made by hand.
Amen.
And then at the seventh trump, when Jesus comes, we'll all change into our spiritual bodies right here on earth. 1 Corinthians 15:52. We'll have the day of the Lord, the teaching of the millennium by the elect Jesus here. We have the lake of fire, all evil gone. And look on your program there, Revelation 21. The new Jerusalem coming down like a city of lights on the planet earth. Heaven on earth, a building, four square, not built by hands, made by God.
Amen.
The curtain comes down on Acts 2. Now in a real play, if you're a gracious audience and you appreciated the cast and you appreciated the author, the producer, and the director, you give a standing ovation. I ask the whole wide world now will stand and give God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit a standing ovation. Let's clap until your Father can hear it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Precious Father, in Jesus' name, you deserve for your people on earth to applaud you 24/7. I do ask, my Lord, that this applause bless your heart, for we love you and we want to make you happy. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
It's time now for me to announce the owner of the Produce Place, the man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. That was awesome.
Awesome play, right?
Awesome.
On the play, right? Okay. Okay, well, David left his stuff in the car. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter 1:8-9.
Absolutely. Great, Scott. Thank you. Believing, believe, only believe, only believe. Now, before I pray for healing, let's pray for everyone in the world who's not saved. We want you to be saved and live in this building, four square, building not made by hand, heaven on earth. Pray this prayer with me and mean it, and God will save you right now. Here we go. You can't call him Father until you get saved, so we're going to call him God. Dear God, I am a sinner.
Dear God, I am a sinner.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus, Son of God.
Jesus, Son of God.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Stay in my heart.
Stay in my heart.
Wash my sins away with your precious blood.
Wash my sins away with your precious blood.
Fill me with all the fullness of you, O God.
Fill me with all the fullness of you, O God.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
And use me. To win many souls to Jesus. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Now, for those of you in cyberspace, the Bible says confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone. You need to tell a lot of people. But I invite you to tell me. In a moment, my announcer, Scott, will give you my telephone number. And I invite you to call that number. It's my voicemail. And call and leave your confession on there. And I will pray for you when I get it. And welcome to the family of God. Now, be sure to read your Bible every day for the rest of your life. If you're a brand new Christian, start in the Gospel of John, read it straight through, and listen to my programs, and you'll get the whole Bible. And also pray every day, shut yourself off, and now you can call him Father. So you can't call him Father until you're saved, because you're an alien. Now he's Father in Jesus' name. Will you do that?
Amen.
You also may email me your confession. You also may email me your prayer request, your praise reports, are your comments. No grumbling, please, okay? My email is Sherry, S-H-A-R-I, Medlock, M-E-D-L-O-C-K, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. The G is for God. Korshalamakator, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus. I sense in my spirit that there's someone with such pain in their spinal cord that it's almost unbearable. We see that the nerves are pinched. There are some at the top, some at the bottom, and some the sciatica nerve, in the name and the power of Jesus. Oh, we call forth the Son of Righteousness, Malachi 4. To those who fear your name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Let the laser beams of Jesus Christ's healing virtue go in there, unpinch that nerve. Spine, vertebrae, move off of that nerve. From the neck there, from the shoulder blade, from the middle of the back, and from the sciatica nerve, move, move, move. And let there be peace, let there be ease. He sent his word and healed you. He relieves you from all distress. He comforts you on every side. Perfect alignment, perfect order. Nothing pressed, nothing blocked, nothing pinched. He restores health to you. With his stripes, you are healed in Jesus' mighty name. Now you can pick up your bed and walk.
Amen.
And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend in the whole wide world, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. No greater love is this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Give it all to him. You'll never regret it. I love you too, all over the world. Welcome. God bless each one of you. Thank you for listening. I love each one of you. I feel you in my spirit. I'm praying for you by countries and by name when I know you every day of my life. I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together as a family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Woo.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the
You're
trumpet
listening to WMIE,
of truth.
Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
Set me apart, gave me a new heart, filled with compassion to share your great love. Show me your ways, I wanna know you. Guide me in truth, my hope is in you. God, take us back, the place we began, the simple pursuit.
nothing but you. The innocence of a heart in your hands. God, take us back. Oh, God, take us back to an unswerving faith in the power of your name. A heart beating for your kingdom to reign. A church that is known for your presence again. God, take us back. Nothing and no one comes close to you. Nothing could ever come close. Nothing and no one, it's you and you only. Nothing could ever come close. So keep our hearts real and keep your grace close. You're bringing us back. You're bringing us home to an unswerving faith in the power of your name. And a heart beating for your kingdom to reign. A church that is known for your presence again. Oh God, take us back. Because nothing and no one comes close to you. Nothing could ever come close. Nothing and no one, it's you and you only. Nothing could ever come close. Jesus, nothing and no one comes close to you. Nothing could ever come close. There's nothing. Unswerving faith in the power of your name. A heart beating for your kingdom to reign. A church that is known for your presence again. Oh God, take us back. Oh, nothing, no one comes close to you. Nothing could ever come close. Oh, nothing and no one, it's you and you only. Nothing could ever come close. Oh, nothing and no one comes close to you. Oh, nothing could ever come close. Oh, nothing. It's you and you only. Nothing could ever come close. Nothing and no one comes close to you, Jesus. Nothing could ever come close. Nothing and no one. It's you and you only. Nothing could ever come close. Jesus, you and you alone. For did we lose the awe of God? Where is all the reverence gone? Oh God, come restore the glory song and bring us back, bring us back. but there's a song of majesty. Oh, we've forgotten how to say. Oh, there's a higher way than this. Bring us back to holiness. Bring us back, bring us back, bring us back. Bring us back to majesty, Jesus, Jesus. Bring us back to what it means. Oh, to join those angels at your holy throne and bring a glory song. And bring us back, and bring us back. And all the angels in the heavens sing, singing holy, holy, holy is your name. On our faces at your feet, we'll sing your glory song.
Thank you.
2BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
What if the armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captive free, and not let Satan have one more? What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promise, and stormed hell's rusty gates? What if his people prayed? If we prayed for those raised up to lead the way, then maybe kids in school could pray and unborn children see light of day. What if the life that we pursue came from a hunger for the truth? What if the family turned to Jesus, stopped asking Oprah what to do? What if his people prayed? And those who